The reading this afternoon is Galatians 2, verses 15 to 21, found on page 973. Galatians 2, 15 to 21. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus, in order to be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if, in our endeavour to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. May the Lord add his blessing to that reading of his word.
Some weeks ago, at the end of the morning service, I was at the door greeting people, and one of the girls in Sunday club, about 6 years old, came up to me and said, "Pastor, I'm going to miss you when you've gone." I don't know whether she'd been put up to this in order to just to give me a bit of a nudge that it was time to go now, but I was able to assure her I'm around, going to be around for just a little while longer. But it got me thinking about things, and I realized that one of the things I am going to miss is preaching God's word each week in the same church. It is a great privilege, isn't it, to be able to hear God's word and to be in God's word together, and for a pastor, a great privilege to be able to preach in the same church amongst those who are part of the church family with you is something that I'm sure I'm going to miss. Because it is good, isn't it, to come to God's word and see what God is revealing to us in that word. That word which in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 is described as being living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so as we come to that living and active word again this afternoon, let's just look again at Galatians 2 verse 20. It is a wonderful testimony given by Paul as he defends the gospel of God's grace. It's the second half of the verse that I particularly want us to focus on, although the whole verse is important. But that phrase, "the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." There's great confidence in that, assurance in that. But it also raises that question, how are we to live the Christian life? Well, we might, as we think about that question, want to list some practical do's. Do this, do that, that's how we live the Christian life. And whilst we're at it, perhaps we can also add some practical don'ts to that list. Indeed, the Bible contains some great lists on the difference it makes to be a Christian. For example, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that call for the renewing of our minds. Our minds are renewed in Christ. They're different. Then there's the putting to death of certain characteristics of the old sinful nature. There's a list of those in Colossians chapter 3. And the alternative nature to put on instead of that, which is also listed in the same chapter, Colossians 3. But this is not about legalism. I must do this, I've got to do that. It is about transformation. And while seeking to submit to the transforming power of the Holy Spirit within us, we nevertheless always keep in mind that our salvation is never dependent on performance, but by grace through faith. So when we're thinking about what does it mean to live the Christian life, what must we do, how must we live, we must not get down that line of performance. It is not about performance. We are saved by grace. Yes, we're saved for good works, but we are nevertheless not saved by anything that we can do, but simply by God's grace that's revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul makes clarifies that, if you like, in verse 16 of that passage we've just read, when he says, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what we need to keep at the center of the gospel message. We're not justified by works, but through faith. If we were to decide that we were going to organize an evangelistic meal, and at this evangelistic meal we'd have an after-dinner speaker, we could invite a Christian sports star, maybe, or we could have some famous Christian celebrity to speak. But, you know, if I could have anybody, I think I would love to be able to invite the Apostle Paul to speak at our evangelistic meal. Of course, I know he's not available. But I've read his testimony in the book of Acts. I've read his letters that he wrote to churches and individuals, places where he continues to share his experience of God's grace through his life. And yet to sit and listen to his testimony in person would be quite something. The point is this, that Paul was not only saved by grace, although it was something that continued to astound him throughout the rest of his life. He wasn't only saved by grace, but he was also transformed. It transformed his whole life. And he describes that most fundamental change in Galatians 2 verse 20, where he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul tells us that he no longer lives. In other words, he's saying that he is dead. But doesn't that contradict what he says in Ephesians 2, where we are dead in sin and then are made alive in Christ? Has he got this the wrong way around? He's saying, I no longer live, I'm dead. And another place is saying, we're dead, but now we live. What he means is that the old sinful, rebellious self has died. And the stunning reality is that Christ now lives in him. I read this definition of a Christian just the other day. A Christian is a person in whom Jesus Christ lives. That's got to be the clearest, simplest definition of what it means and what it is to be a Christian. It's not me anymore. Rather, it's Christ in me by the power of his Holy Spirit. Colossians 1 verse 27 speaks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so because Christ is in us, we have that guarantee of eternal life with him. And the Spirit of God testifies to our innermost being that we are now children of God. And as Romans 8 verse 17 goes on to say, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. And so we have something, as we've already indicated during our service, that we look forward to and we reach out to, which is our eternal life and the wonderful hope that we have. However, we are still having to live in the meantime, in the meanwhile. We still have to live now before we inherit. And Paul knows that indwelling power of the Christ who loved him and gave himself for him. But he continues by saying this: the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. I live by faith in the Son of God. That is the key to the Christian life. It's living by faith. You and I must continue to live in the flesh for now. That is until Christ calls us home, or until he returns to earth in all his glory to take his people to be with him. So Paul is not suggesting some mystical existence for the Christian where, if you like, we hover above normal life in some spiritual out-of-body experience. That's not what he means. He means we're living every day here in this earth, on this earth, by faith. We're living in the real world with all that it throws at us, and we're living by faith. So therefore, Paul is saying that the Christian's faith is both active and is ongoing. It's not reduced to a one-time decision or an event in the past, that time when we were saved by grace. It continues to be a living, dynamic reality, one that permeates every area of the believer's life. As Calvin put it, it is faith alone that justifies, but the faith that justifies is not alone. That faith continues to exist. And so our theme makes for a good soundbite, doesn't it? We live by faith. But what does it mean? What does it mean to live by faith? Well, it might be helpful to come up with some sort of definition at this point. Sometimes the Bible speaks about the faith, and that's a reference to what we believe about the cross. It's the gospel, if you like. So it is the faith. So for example, in the New Testament book of Jude, in that letter, Jude writes to Christians, and he appeals to them in verse 3 of his letter to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. So the faith there is that body of a doctrine, if you like, of that teaching that is the gospel itself. It is the faith. But what is faith itself? What is faith? Well, Martin Luther suggests that faith is a living, bold trust in God's grace, so certain of God's favor that it would risk death 1,000 times trusting in it. Faith is a living, bold trust in God's grace. It's not theory, it's a living experience. Now that, when he talks, Luther talks about risking death 1,000 times trusting in it, that might sound rather dramatic. But faith is a deep trust and confidence in God and his promises, even when they are not visible, even when they are not fully realized. We nevertheless have faith, and we live by that faith. But how do we do that? How do we live by that sort of faith? How does a belief become practical? And that's what I want us to just to consider. Because living by faith means we depend upon God. In particular, we depend upon his mercy, his forgiveness, his undeserved kindness to us in every situation. There's a key there, every situation. And we can add that this trust, this dependency, does not just apply to time. It goes on into eternity because we can trust him for that throughout eternity. It's King David, isn't it, who writes at the end of Psalm 23, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This means that we depend on him when things are good, and we depend on him when things are not good. It means we trust even when we don't understand. In the words of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. And when we know that that's what we're doing, then we begin to trust more and more because we know what we know about God. We know that relationship we have with him through Jesus Christ. And so we know that we walk by faith. We won't necessarily see things, but we trust nevertheless. I love that story of the elderly grandmother who was visiting her grandson across the world, and it was the first time she'd ever flown, the first time she'd ever been in a plane, and she was worried that with all the weight on it of all the people who were, all the passengers and all the crew and all the luggage and everything, that the plane couldn't possibly remain in the air. So she took some persuading to make the trip, but nevertheless, she finally went. When she finally arrived, her grandson met her and pointed out that the weight of all the passengers and luggage had not brought the plane down as she suspected it might do. And it was then that she told him that she had spent the whole flight with one foot off the ground just to lighten the plane. Faith says, I put all my weight on Christ. He can take it all. Standing with one foot off the ground, all you're going to do is eventually you're going to tip over. He's trusting him. That is faith, is going with him. And the object of the faith by which the Christian is to live, what is that object? It isn't our achievement, is it? The object of our faith is Jesus Christ. I live by faith in the Son of God. So when I ask whether I am strong enough to live by faith, when I wonder whether my faith in him, my confidence and trust in him is really enough, it's then that I realize it's not how much faith I think I have or how strong I think it might be, but it's about who that faith is in. Our faith is in the Son of God. When I look to him, then I find strength and courage and the will to keep going. So to live by faith is to live trusting the Lord Jesus Christ every day. And we need perhaps to start every day, don't we, by saying, Lord, I'm trusting in you. Whatever today is, whatever today comes and brings to me, I live by faith. I'm trusting in you. The Jesus who Paul states unequivocally loved us to the point of dying in our place. He purchased our salvation. He is the Son of God who loved me. The Son of God who gave himself for me. That is this Jesus that our faith and trust is in. The trust should be a constant throughout the life of the believer. But it is well rooted in saving grace. Because we need to keep going back to our salvation and seeing the extent of that love, the extent of that grace, that power that brought us to faith. And therefore that saving grace will become that sustaining grace that we need. I guess that when we're looking at a verse like this, it's helpful to see something of the background to the letter in which it appears. False teachers are trying to take the believers, persuade the believers back from this idea of being justified by faith, back to being justified by law. In other words, not grace, but performance. And they are trying to take them back to that. And Paul is writing with that in mind and argues against it. Galatians must live by good works, ultimately placing their power in what they do themselves. That was the idea of these teachers. And that's why Paul, having stated the basis for his living by faith, adds this in verse 21 of our reading. I do not set aside the grace of God. I don't set that aside. I don't ignore that. I don't push it to one side. Because if righteousness comes through the law, if I can be saved, if I can be presented to Christ, to God as I should be, if I can be justified by righteousness that comes from the law, then the bottom line is that Christ died for nothing. if we are going to be justified by the law or justified by performance, then the cross was a waste of time. Christ died for nothing. And so Christ's death and his resurrection are the foundation for our life of faith. They are the beginning of a journey of trusting the Lord Jesus for everything that we need, because we're saved by grace through faith. What Paul writes in our verse implies something further and ongoing. You see, living by faith is not only believing in past events. Well, we can say that we trust because of past events. We have proof of that in God's faithfulness. But faith is continually resting in God's future grace. It means trusting that God's sovereign power and all-satisfying goodness will provide exactly what we need in every situation, thus freeing us from the anxiety that so often takes hold of people, freeing us from that anxiety and enabling joyful service because we're trusting in him. Notice that the life of faith is lived not according to I, but he. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That life of faith is not lived according to I, but according to he. The new I looks away from itself and trusts in the Son of God, whose love and power was proved at Calvary. Here's Martin Luther again. He says, did the law ever love me? Did the law ever sacrifice itself for me? Did the law ever die for me? On the contrary, it accuses me. It frightens me. It drives me crazy. Somebody else saved me from the law, from sin and death unto eternal life. That somebody is the Son of God, to whom be praise and glory forever. Living by faith means taking God at his word and choosing obedience and reliance on him, especially in the face of anxiety or living in a secular and counter-cultural world. As the song puts it, we have Christ at work within us, shaping us to be like him. Resurrection power sustaining freedom from the snares of sin. Saying no to flesh desires, saying yes to righteous ways. Filled with passion and with power, lights that burn in darkened days. Living by faith, by definition, means we don't know what is ahead, except the certainty of God's promises. For some, and for some of you, these days are hard. We don't know how certain situations that we are encountering or will encounter, we don't know how they will be resolved. So we're to walk by faith, not by sight. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on him, our soul's reward. Till the race is finished and the work is done, we'll walk by faith and not by sight. Or, as Paul puts it, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.